Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
All of this is being brought home and brought together to final landing. It's a very exciting story that at once is very big, but it also is very personal.
Good day, everyone, and welcome to the Oral Odyssey that is the Dagobah Dispatch, where we talk about all things Star Wars all the time, for better or for worse. Here's what we have on tap for you this week. We are digging into season 3 of The Bad Batch. The first 3 episodes are out. Plus, we've seen the next 5 episodes after that because we're fancy. We won't spoil anything for you, but we will share our thoughts, and that is not all we're sharing. We have the star of The Bad Batch, the dude who voices like 10 million different clones, including Hunter, Wrecker, Crosshair, and Echo. Voice legend D. Bradley Baker will be joining us as well. Plus, we have some video news to get to and a long overdue tribute. All that and a bag of sour cream and onion chips, because they are the best type of chip, right here on the Dagobah Dispatch. I am Dalton Ross, joined as always by Devin Kogan. What's going on, Devin?
Not too much.
Okay, well, there you go. You heard it.
I had something more exciting to report, but no, I'm excited. Yeah, I'm excited that The Bad Batch is back.
Well, I'll tell you something. I was thinking about you last night. Okay. I was moderating a panel at the 92nd Street Y, which is a place in here in New York City. It was for The Walking Dead, The Ones Who Live. It's the Rick and Michonne. They're back together, slaying zombies and slaying hearts, Devin. And we were back in the green room, because that's where fancy people go before and after. Yeah. And somehow the topic came up. Someone talked about cosplaying. And then that shifted to someone said, well, I've never cosplayed. And Andrew Lincoln and I, Guerrero, were talking like, "What? Well, but we've been to a Renaissance fair." And I said, excuse me? Like, yeah, there's a big one down in Georgia, and one of the cast members' significant other was really into Renaissance fairs, so they went to a big Renaissance fair in Georgia. And I was thinking of Devin and her big sword.
Yes. I am already making plans to go to the Renaissance fair here in California later this year.
Is that the porny one?
It's not the porny one.
Isn't it called like Renaissance Fair Pleasure or something like that?
It's the Renaissance Pleasure Fair.
Okay, how is that not porny?
It's a bad name, but it's mostly just an excuse for my friends and I to go get dressed up and have a turkey leg and hang out with swords all day.
Was that a euphemism when you said turkey leg? All right, let's move along. Let's move on. Let's keep this show rolling. Right here, we got D. Bradley Baker coming up. We got some Bad Batch we're going to talk about, give you our take on sort of what we've seen of the show so far. We got some news we're going to get to, but first off, let's do our housekeeping. We always say love to get voicemails from you all, love to communicate with you all in a lot of different ways, and you can call us anytime about anything. I mean, most people make it Star Wars related, but I guess technically you don't even have to do that. But our number is 657-799-1566. You can react to anything we say here or leave any thoughts or questions that you have for us. And we do have a voicemail this week from someone reacting to something we said. What do we got here, Sammy?
This week, we have a voicemail from Takako.
Okay.
Calling in from the Big Apple, helping us solve the mystery of last week's episode. Does Senator Palpatine bang?
At a Renaissance fair?
at a pleasure fair.
Hello, my name is Takako. I'm calling from New York. I love your podcast. I enjoy it every week. Anyway, so I was listening to the most recent episode where we were talking about Palpatine. How did he get a grandchild? So anyway, I fell into the Wikipedia rabbit hole. And because I seem to remember that the guy was like a clone, not a son. And I was wondering, how did I remember this? So anyway, I believe the story is part told in the novel Shadow of the Sith by Adam Christopher. So anyway, that's about it. Thank you very much. always enjoy the podcast. And may the force be with you. Bye.
Thank you, Takako. Appreciate that. But I will be honest, I'm a little sore at Takako right now, because Takako went down like a whole rabbit hole, and now Takako has sent me down a rabbit hole, Devin. So, you know, Takako's talking about this book, Shadow of the Sith, by Adam Christopher. So, of course, I had to look it up. I haven't read this one. And this book is very tied into The Rise of Skywalker. And there's a few interesting things. I'm just going to read you all the description. Like, if you go to, like, the page on Amazon, this is, like, the book description right here. It's a little long, but it's kind of interesting. Bear with me. The Empire is dead. First off, very dramatic beginning to this description of this book by Adam Christopher. Nearly two decades after the Battle of Endor, the tattered remains of Palpatine's forces have fled to the farthest reaches of the galaxy. But for the heroes of the New Republic, danger and loss are ever-present companions, even in this newly forged era of peace. Jedi Master Luke Skywalker, so this is before, he's still alive at this point, is haunted by visions of the dark side, foretelling an ominous secret growing somewhere in the depths of space on a dead world called dun-dun-dun. By the way, you can put in like a more dramatic sound effect, Sam, if you want later than what I just did. On a dead world called... Okay, so hopefully Sam just put in Exegol. Exegol. The disturbance in the Force is undeniable. And Luke's worst fears are confirmed when his old friend Lando Calrissian comes to him with reports of a dun 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 new Sith menace. I think I'm overdoing it with the dramatic sounds.
I think maybe a little.
After, now here's where it gets even more interesting. After Lando's daughter was stolen from his arms, he searched the stars for any trace of his lost child. But every new rumor leads to only dead ends and fading hopes until he crosses paths with dun-dun-dun Ochi of Bestoon. Ochi is like a no one. I mean, we've never heard of Ochi before. Ochi is a Sith assassin tasked with kidnapping a dun-dun-dun young girl. Anyway, there's more that goes on here. They talk about how there's the sacred blade to the assassin. We saw that blade in Rise of Skywalker. So very Rise of Skywalker oriented. I said it's interesting because we just had Billy Dee Williams on the podcast talking about, hey, was that your daughter that we saw at the end of Rise of Skywalker? He's like, I don't know. Like, I thought maybe it was. It wasn't. They never told me. This book basically essentially connects the dots that it was. It also is clearly setting up the Palpatine-Rey connection here. It talks about how Ochi, this is the person that's hunting Rey and her parents, you know, this Ochi from, I guess, you know, the movie that we saw there and that flashback that they had real quickly in Rise of Skywalker. So a lot of interesting stuff going on here, Devin. So first off, what do you make of this fact from this book that Takako is relaying to us that, yes, they're Palpatine's kid is a clone, and I guess maybe that means he wasn't, as Sammy said, banging?
I mean, this gets at my issues with The Rise of Skywalker, which is that this is all really interesting, but it would have been kind of cool to see that on screen, you know? Like, there's so many, like, all the stuff with Lando's daughter and, like, the weird knife and, you know, like, how actually Palpatine returned besides just somehow Palpatine returned. And these are things that I would have liked to very much see on the screen. I mean, it is interesting, the idea. We know, obviously, that clones are... you know, very much tied to his sort of resurrection. So it would make sense for him to have like a resurrected clone and or like a son who's a clone, like kind of Boba Fett style. I don't know. I don't know. I just, again, it raises more questions than it answers. So I don't know. Which then I guess it's a clone. Does that technically make Rey his daughter, like genetically? I don't know.
Could Rey be a clone? Again. I mean, like, why stop there? Who knows?
You
know, like,
everyone's a clone.
When you're going down a rabbit hole, you're not just like reading book descriptions on Amazon. If you're me, you're actually going and scrolling and like reading reviews then of the book on Amazon.
Oh, yeah.
Which is what I did. And here's an interesting review that I'm going to read. This is from Mandalore41.
Incredible name.
Who reviewed the book and gave it 5 out of 5 stars, Devin. But I thought you'd find this review interesting. There's a reason I'm reading this review. I don't understand some of the abbreviations he uses here. You might have to help me because I'm stupid. Prior to readying, reading, he said readying, but I think he means reading. Prior to, well, I'm just going to stick with readying. Probably prior to readying Shadow of the Sith, I categorized Rise of Skywalker not only the absolute worst Star Wars movie, but one of the worst movies of all time. All right, now this is where you got, I've seen the OT and PT hundreds of times. Do you know anyone?
Original trilogy and prequel
trilogy.
Thank
you. See, I told you, I need my help. Yet could not make it through a second viewing of ROS. I know what that is. After seeing it in the theater. So he did go back to see it twice in the theater. But listen to this, Devin. This book made that scatterbrain mess make so much more sense that I not only got through the movie again, but I actually liked it. The movie still has many, many problems, but now they are no more than the other two Disney trilogy disappointments served up. Then there's a lot of shame on Disney stuff. But basically, what Mandalore 41 is saying is that this Adam Christopher book, Shadow of the Sith, makes Rise of Skywalker a more enjoyable film.
Maybe I need to read it,
I think Lauren Morgan needs to read it. I'm going to order this for Lauren Morgan.
I think very much so.
I am literally going to, like, what's like the fast buy click real, like one click option on Amazon that I'm going to do to send this to Lauren Morgan. You know what? Let's sell Lauren Morgan a little more. There was a text thread going through per usual between Devin, Lauren, and myself today. Actually, I don't even really. Yeah, I did chime on this a little bit. And I'm going to now read some of Lauren's texts without her permission. Just the kind of guy I am. This is from Lauren, unprompted, by the way. This is the way they just come in hot. Like, there's no one says she's out of nowhere. Because clearly the Bad Batch, as we're recording this, Bad Batch just came out on the day we're recording this. Now, Devin and I saw him a little early because, again, we're fancy. Lauren wrote, "It's so funny how much time the Filoniverse is spending on getting the Rise of Skywalker to make sense. And it's actually kind of working." This is Lauren's love of Filoni matched up with her hatred of Rise of Skywalker. Who's going to win out? I don't know. Very interesting. Is she rethinking her drink, Devin?
I don't know. I mean, I think you could completely rewrite that movie and re-release it. And I think Lauren would still refuse on principle to ever watch it.
Yeah, she did. So, I will say she ended the text thread. I'm not going to read the entire thing, but she ended it with, "I'm still not rewatching that stupid movie."
So there you go.
Lauren's going to Lauren.
Yeah, that's accurate. I'm team Lauren on this one. But no, yeah, it is. And we'll get into this a little bit when we talk about the Bad Batch, some of the, you know, Palpatine returned kind of foreshadowing. But yeah, I mean, that's something, though, that it is kind of interesting because, I mean, that's what arguably happened with the prequels. Prequels came out, everybody was like, and then Clone Wars came out, and suddenly there was this added depth, particularly to kind of like the storylines that we see in Attack of the Clones and Revenge of the Sith. You get so much of a sense of why Anakin is the way he is, his relationship with Padme, his relationship with Obi-Wan, like just so much depth and added, you know, kind of nuance and storytelling that, you know, being a Clone Wars fan has very much improved my enjoyment of the prequel trilogy. So I'm curious if we will ever get to a point where, you know, kind of extended universe things and you know, some of the TV shows can kind of like improve our enjoyment of something like Rise of Skywalker. I don't know if I'll ever get there, yeah. But it's a possibility.
Well, you know, I haven't read this one. I knew it was very tied into ROS, and so kind of like it wasn't on the front of my list. But you know, maybe if it's going to enhance the films that you're watching, then I'm all for it. So maybe I'll check that out. Anyway. Thank you, Takako, for the very informative.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Voicemail. Appreciate that. Everyone else, give us a call, 657-799-1566. Again, we'd love to make you part of the show. Spotify poll, another way you can connect with us. Our poll last week was, will you go to see the Phantom Menace in theaters to celebrate the 25th anniversary? We polled you guys, asked if you would go see it. 73% said yes, 26% said no. So I guess 1% is undecided, Devin? I guess. Okay.
I suppose.
Can't figure it out. I think I'll be there. I said, you know, I'll who am I kidding? I'll be there on the big screen again.
I kind of am too. I'm like, all right, I'm going to get a gang together and, you know, go watch.
Yeah. All right. So listen, I always at the end of every podcast, if you guys are still listening, you hear me say, hey, reach out to us on social media. And it's always weird. Like I always like, I don't really even give my right social media handle depending on what platform you are, because I have a different one. Well, I'm Dalton Ross on Twitter. That's what I say. But I'm the Dalton Ross on Instagram because Dalton Ross was taken, because apparently there's another Dalton Ross that was like cyber squatting or something. Has anyone said the word cyber squatting in the past decade, by the way? Sammy's nodding their head.
I don't think so.
No, there we go. So anyway, but I did get a DM. Someone slid into my DMs on Instagram. Robert Hanna did. And I'm very appreciative of Robert Hanna for doing this. So here's what Robert Hanna wrote to me. Hi, Dalton. I'm from the UK and a big fan of Dagobah Dispatch. Thank you, Robert. Love our international fan base. I was just wondering if you are going to do a tribute to Carl Weathers on the pod. So, Robert, thank you so much for this reminder. For those that are devoted listeners and have better memories than I do, you may remember we had a sort of a funky recording schedule. You guys wouldn't have noticed. Our podcast just came out regular times, regular days on Thursdays. But I had a little vacay, hit the beach. So we recorded a podcast early. We essentially recorded two podcasts one week and didn't record one the next week because we didn't want to leave you guys hanging. We want to have you guys have an episode to listen to. What happened then was Carl Weathers, obviously, as I believe everyone knows, passed away, unfortunately, on February 1st, kind of like right after we recorded an episode at the age of 76. And so we were away for a while. Then we came back and it was kind of it already transpired and we kind of just didn't really think to do it. So we didn't really comment on the passing of Carl Weathers, and obviously a huge part of the Star Wars galaxy with the Mandalorian, and someone that both of us interviewed at various conventions and celebrations and D23s and things of that nature, and was the most impeccably dressed guy in the galaxy as Greef Karga. So, Devin, I you know, obviously not only was he great on this show, but a big part of my childhood, you know, growing up in the 80s, it's freaking Apollo Creed. I mean, come on. I mean, this is Apollo Creed. So great. Obviously, the original Rocky Academy Award winning film. And then you go into the other. I mean, like, listen, Rocky III and Rocky IV are so cheesy in the best way possible. And like you asked me my two main images I have of Carl Weathers. One is like the homoerotic beach scene with him and Sly Stallone in like slow motion, like frolicking in the waves and hugging and like splashing each other in their short shorts. It's like so amazing. And then you think of Rocky IV, the entire Living in America sequence where he's got the top hat, the Stars and Stripes top hat. And he's like, it's so amazing. And like such like the perfect encapsulation of like the 80s and like this sort of larger than life, like boxer. And he was amazing. It wasn't just in that stuff. Like, I mean, I was watching this guy in Predator. I mean, I could call it freaking Action Jackson, like best movie title ever, in 1988, which came out. In fact, when I saw him, Devin, at Star Wars Celebration and he walked in the room, the first thing I said is, Action Jackson is in the house. And he looked so confused because I don't think anyone has called out Action Jackson in 30 plus years. But I was so psyched. And then, you know, he showed his sense of humor. Played a version of himself on Arrested Development, other comedy work. So, I mean, the guy was awesome and a super sad loss, obviously for the show, but just for all of us as well.
Yeah, I mean, what an absolute legend. I mean, you called out so many of his incredible performances. I wanted to give a special shout out to, I love him so much in Arrested Development. Like, what incredible, impeccable comedic timing, just like fits into that absolutely bonkers world so well, which is not easy to do. And I mean, I still say to myself, baby, you've got a stew going, which is one of his best lines in that. But you know, he really lent a sense of like gravitas to the Mandalorian, like from the moment he showed up. And just like, I love his performance so much, and also a really accomplished director on the series too. He directed multiple episodes, including like some really incredible like action scenes, and like some of the stuff on where like the Mandalorian covert is like trying to go after this giant creature and that's like kidnapping the foundlings. Like just really, really an extraordinary, extraordinary action director. And just from the time you and I got to talk to him, like he really loved being on this show and specifically loved getting to direct on this show and like get to play in this crazy world. So I know like just a wonderful human being, and I'm going to miss him terribly.
And what a career for a, you know, a football player. So he was an NFL football player, only played like a season basically of NFL football, and then sort of transitioned into acting. And he was 76 years old. I mean, like I never, like if you do the math, you can figure out that he was that old, but like the guy looked amazing. I mean, when saw him at Celebration last year. I mean, like, and was so spry on the screen and everything. So anyway, our very sad loss. Our thoughts obviously go out to his family. And thank you again, Robert Hanna, for sending that DM to make sure we spend a little time here talking about Carl Weathers. All right. Last thing I want to get to before we start talking about the Bad Batch is just a little bit of news in the video game world. I just finished Jedi Survivor, by the way. That's not the news. But I finally finished Jedi Survivor, started Spider-Man 2 over the weekend. So it's just one awesome game into the other. My wife is like basically doesn't see me anymore.
You got to play Baldur's Gate 3 next. That's my current obsession and has been for like 6 months.
My son just got me an Avatar game.
Airbender Cameron?
Cameron Avatar. I don't remember what it's called. So that's on the list as well. But anyway, Star Wars Battlefront. I'm talking about the old Battlefront, not the more recent ones that came out for the PS4 and what have you. But this is the old one from 2004. That came out for like the PS2, I think. Anyway, Star Wars Battlefront Classic Collection is coming out. Nintendo Switch, PS4 and 5, Xbox, PC, everything on March 14th as a bundle of the two original games, new maps, new characters, and more. And some of those new characters will include... Kit Fisto! Kit Fisto is going to be in the house.
Yes! Yeah, our boy!
Let's go! and Asajj Ventress, who maybe we'll talk about in a minute as well. Jabba's Palace is one of the new maps, so this is a pretty cool stuff. I actually didn't play these original Battlefronts. I've played the two recent ones that came out, but I didn't play these, but you played these, right, Devin?
Oh, yeah, I played these. I played original, the 2004 Battlefront, which I played it on a Mac, which I think there was a Mac port like a year later. And my brother and I were so into it. Like this was that we were obsessed. So when they announced this, I was like, OK, incredible. I'm going to like download this for the Switch or something and harass my brother into playing it again with me, because it's just like it was such a joy. This was like one of the first Star Wars video games I fell in love with. And just like, I remember for 2004, like the graphics were fantastic. Yeah. You know, now I'm sure it's all just like blocky nonsense. No, I loved this game. I had so much fun just like stealing speeder bikes and bopping around all these amazing planets I loved. So I'm very excited for this.
Oh, well, so you're going to get both the original games and like I said, a bunch of new bells and whistles for it. So it is fun to go back and play those games. Like I said, like I still play Masters of Teras Kasi, which is for the PS1, I think. And it was like their Mortal Kombat. And it's just really not a good game at all. But like, you know, you're playing as like Vader or Mara Jade or like, you know, this Gamorrean guard. I mean, it's cool. It's fun. It's like, you know, I just love that stuff. So it does sound fun. It'll be coming out March 14th. You can rock and roll on the old school Battlefront if you want. All right. So listen, we're going to have D. Bradley Baker in just a little bit, but let's talk a little Bad Batch amongst ourselves here before we bring in the master. The first three episodes of Bad Batch are out now. And Devin and I, we could talk a little bit more later about we've seen through episode 8. We won't spoil anything in between episode 4 and 8. Don't worry for you. But what'd you think of the first three episodes that everyone's seen here, Devin? Just and again, we'll get into some, nothing crazy happens in these episodes. Like no one dies or anything. So, but if you don't want to know anything, you might want to skip ahead to the D. Bradley Baker episode. But basically this, in these three episodes, we know we lost last season that Omega was now sort of the prisoner there of Hemlock, Dr. Hemlock. And essentially these first three episodes are the Bad Batch looking for her and her eventually, spoiler alert, escaping with Crosshair, What'd you make of what we've seen so far?
Yeah, I mean, I thought this was a great way to kick off the season. We get a nice little prison break. I love a prison break. I love the way that they actually like let this consequence from the last season kind of breathe. And it wasn't just like, oh, she's in prison and she breaks out in the first episode and it's over and let's move on to new adventures. I like that they really sit with this and we spend so much time, you know, kind of figuring out like, okay, what is Omega's life in this like facility that she's being held prisoner in? She sort of bonds with Crosshair a little bit, who is also imprisoned there. I love their relationship specifically. And that sort of, you know, kind of is a big thing this season. I was really, really charmed by these first couple episodes. And I continue to be absolutely in love with Dee Bradley Baker's performances in performances, plural, because he's doing like 90% of the work here. But no, I thought it was a really smart way to kind of kick off this season and kind of set this up as this, you know, kind of hurtling towards a finale.
Yeah, it was. I love a prison break as well. Obviously, we saw a big one on Andor recently where they did one. and this was super fun as well. I will note some fun voice roles in here. Angelica Houston played Issa Durand, who's a sort of a underworld leader there who seems pretty ruthless and had a big scene at the beginning of episode two. And then Boba Fett himself, Daniel Logan, did the voice of, I think, Mox, I think his name was. Basically, they go to this planet, the Bad Batch, where there's a facility where they're hoping they're going to get some more information to locate Omega. And these three boy clones are there. And one of them, sort of their leaders, voiced by Daniel Logan, Boba Fett. It's kind of cool.
Yeah, it's such a fun piece of casting, especially because they're like young clones and they look so much like, original little baby Boba Fett and back in Attack of the Clones. So, it's a really fun piece of casting.
We also do get the Emperor shows up, voiced by Ian McDiarmid in episode 3. And we get some more intel on what we have known is happening here, which we've heard, you know, they're talking about this on The Mandalorian as well, Devin. I guess Project Necromancer, right? Right, and it's this clearly this cloning technology. They're experimenting on the clones. The Emperor's very interested in what's going on here. This clearly is, as Lauren's text said, tied very into the Rise of Skywalker.
Yeah, this was the part that really interested me. They're really leaning into, you know, kind of this more like cloning and experimental, you know, sort of setup for the things with the Emperor. And it's really interesting to be sort of laying the groundwork for this now, you know, because most of the we've heard mentions of Project Necromancer, you know, like in Mandalorian. And I don't know if it was like explicitly mentioned in Ahsoka, but it's kind of alluded to. But, you know, those are set after the fall of the Emperor. Those are set after Return of the Jedi to sort of see these early days of it is really interesting, especially how it's tied into, you know, the cloning process and everything with Omega. Although I do got to say, if you're like an evil, sinister organization and you are doing some shady stuff, Project Necromancer is pretty... That's pretty evil. Like if I'm scrolling through like the Empire databases and I see something called Project Necromancer, I'm gonna be like, what is that? I want to know what that is. If you're gonna do evil plans, you gotta name it something really boring, like Project Back Taxes or something like that. Because nobody will click on that. But if somebody's like, what is Project Necromancer? That sounds so sinister. Yeah. But I don't know. The Empire has never been one for subtlety, as given the fact that they named their giant death machine the Death Star. So I don't know. I think they need a new an in-house creative department who just comes up with names for things. But I am not in charge of the Empire's HR facility. So but that would be my suggestion. Don't call your top secret project Project Necromancer, but what do I
know everything. That's right. I mean, listen, you know, it doesn't work out in the end. None of this stuff. They are blowing up. Their Death Stars keep getting blown up. You know, their clones are getting killed.
True.
So Devin and I have seen the first 8 episodes and, you know, they showed in that trailer, Asajj Ventress. We've discussed this already. And like, how are they going to bring her back? She was killed off in the Dark Disciple book, which were unproduced episodes of the Clone Wars. The creators have said that they are not retconning Dark Disciple. So there'll be some work way around that. we can tell you that Asajj is not in the first eight episodes. She's going to be in the season. We've seen her in the trailer. She's not in the first eight episodes. We've got a ways to go. And I don't know how I feel. Like a little, of course, I was very, really curious to see how they were going to incorporate her, Devin. And you know, you and I both have been like, don't kill characters and bring characters back. But yet we both love this character and we both are very curious how they're going to make this work because they say they're not retconning. So we'll see. But it's clearly not going to be a season long arc. That much we know, because it's only 15 episodes and she's not in the first eight.
Yeah, I'm really curious as to kind of how that storyline will shake out. You know, again, we've seen the first eight. It's a 15 episode series. And this is the finale. I mean, this is it. So I'm really, and I'm really curious how like Asajj Ventress will sort of like fit into this story, which is very much about like Clone Force 99 and like the Bad Batch and sort of like the relationships between these characters. So I'm very curious as to kind of what that will look like. But again, I'm not mad that to have more Asajj Ventress on my screen. She's a great character.
So I have some bad news for myself. As I mentioned, we've seen 8 out of 15 episodes. So over 50%. Like, Devin, you and I have seen over half the season. And we all know that I've been here, Mr. Negative Nancy Naysayer.
Spoilers!
Saying that, listen, I've been saying Tech is not dead. Tech died in the, I think it was the finale, season 2. And I've been like, Star Wars never kills anyone, Asajj Ventress. You know, they always bring people back. Tech's not dead. You don't see the body. You literally just see Tech fall through clouds, right? And we know from Echo and other clones and other people that the Empire's constantly like experimenting on clones, right? I mean, it's this whole facility. We see all these clones.
What, do you think he's going to grow wings?
I don't know what happened, but I just know the history of the franchise, and I know the storyline now where they want clones to experiment on. So I'm like, we're seeing Tech again. I've been in all these fights with Lauren Morgan about it, and I'm really starting to get worried now because Tex hasn't shown up in the first eight episodes.
No.
So I
did clock that immediately. Know. I was like, I was a little bit on Tech Watch for Dalton, and no.
I'm getting nervous. But oh my God, how great am I going to feel if in like the finale episode 15, they bust into some facility and like just kind of like the way they found Echo, there's Tech and like they have to save Tech who's plugged into some machine or some like they're drawing. Oh, I don't know.
No, Oscar Isaac is going to be there and he's going to say somehow Tech returned.
Yeah. He's so good. Oh, I'm nervous about it. But look, you got to sometimes make a bold prediction, and I don't even know how bold it is because no one stays dead, but we'll see. I said at least we'd get a Tech flashback. That was my fallback. That was like my safety. And I said, listen, if Tech's not dead, there's going to be some flashback to some scene where Tech said something to Omega or something that's going to click and help Omega or one of the other clones like do something incredible. These wise words from Tech. All right. Well, I can make fun of myself for making a really bad prediction. But now I'm going to put Devin on the spot.
Ooh.
Yeah. Because I'm going to bring it up again. For the, I don't know, 80th time? We did this list where we ranked the top 100 Star Wars characters ever. And kind of just, you can Google it, you can see it. Top 100 Star Wars characters, EW.com, you'll find it. And it was a group list. We had, I don't know, we had like 8 of us or something, maybe more, like working on this list, all like these meetings, talking about where people should be ranked, this, that, or other. Devin was very influential in these meetings. Devin almost single-handedly got Princess Leia into the number one spot.
Yeah, because everyone agreed with me.
Okay, not me. But you know what I'm going to say? The one thing that I thought, well, no, there's a lot of things.
I was going to say, how much time do we have?
there's plenty of things. How much time? But I really... You all said, you, Nick Romano was in this, Lauren Morgan, were like, we said, the Bad Batch had just started when we did the list. We're like, all right, we got to get a Bad Batch clone in there. And I was like, well, obviously, Crossing. He's the most interesting clone. Like, there's no doubt about it. And everyone's like, no, Wrecker, he's so fun. He growls. He goes, oh, hey, Amigo. Like, he's so great. He's the best. I was like, you guys are just going for the low-hanging fruit here. I'm not anti-Wrecker, But Crosshair is such a deeper, more interesting character. I don't know what any of you are thinking, but it's a democracy, and damn it, I have to put my sword down and let you guys get Wrecker in there. And so Crosshair was not on the list. Devin, you've seen halfway through season 3 of The Bad Batch. Do you regret that decision? Can you say that I was right?
Crosshair is the more interesting clone. You're correct. This is when the show started. I thought he was sort of just like, I mean, I thought he was interesting, but he felt like a little one-dimensional to me, as sort of just like, oh, he's like kind of sneaky and growly. And like, I don't know. He didn't feel like anything we'd ever, like, he felt like something we'd seen before. Whereas like Wrecker had like a charm and a like kind of chaos that to me made him more interesting. But as the show has gone on, and actually I talk about this in my interview with Dee Bradley Baker, which you can listen to in the next couple minutes, about how Crosshair's journey to me has been one of the most interesting parts of watching The Bad Batch unfold. So I think you are right. I think that at this point now, talking in 2024, yes, I think that Crosshair is the more interesting clone. But I stand by my decision at the time when I made it.
Well, I'll say this too, because I don't know if you asked, if you and Dee Bradley Baker talked about this all, but I interviewed him before season 1 and I think before season 2. And I asked him, I think it's season 2, who's your favorite Bad Batch member to voice? And he said Wrecker. Oh, I love doing Wrecker. It's such a blast. It's so fun. So he's on team Devin, Nick Romano, Lauren Morgan. Like, I was so bummed when he said that too. I was so happy to come back to you and be like, see, you all were wrong. The dude who voices the character says it's Crosshair. Then he's like, Wrecker. I was like, Sammy, can we take that out of the interview? Can we just not run that section of that? Because,
well, you'll be very happy, because in this interview he talks about his love for Crosshair and like how he plays him kind of like a coiled snake, and it's just it's mm-hmm. a great conversation. So,
and I get, listen, all kidding aside, I get what you're saying. I get you all were arguing when the show first started in terms of Crosshair. You know, he had like the toothpick and he spoke very slowly. And like, he was the gunslinger. We've seen a lot of, whether it was Boba Fett, Cad Bane, we'd seen some of those types before. What made it interesting was the fact that he didn't go with them and was very anti them, rebelling against them. That to me made him more interesting. But anyway, I'm glad that we're finally on the same page on that, if not everything else on the list. anything else you want to say about what we've seen on Bad Batch before we get to your interview?
Just that I'm kind of sad for it to be ending. I mean, I've really enjoyed having this sort of like continuation of like Clone Wars animation and like this particular style, like having that to look forward to. And as of right now, nothing new has been announced, kind of in this vein. I mean, there are some animated projects, you know, there's Young Jedi Adventures and some different things in the works. And obviously like the Star Wars Visions kind of like anthology series, which are all different styles. But I mean, I've gotten kind of spoiled, like having Dee Bradley Baker voice a bunch of clones. I mean, he's been around for, you know, doing this for almost 20 years now, or 15 years, and so I'm getting sad as we're approaching the end. Mm. But will it really be the end? I don't know.
Nothing ever is. Well, we still got 12 more episodes to go, so they are not done by a long shot, and we are not done by a long shot right here, because the man who voices not just some of the clones but all of the clones is going to join us to talk all things Bad Batch with us. Voice legend Dee Bradley Baker will be right here after this super quick break.
It's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I'm so excited to get to speak to you about Bad Batch season 3. I mean, I guess take me back to the beginning. How did you feel going into this season, knowing that this was going to be kind of the conclusion of the Bad Batch story?
Well, the story of the Bad Batch launched with a really spectacular opener with Order 66 and this sudden, you know, galvanizing of what these guys are doing. They're no longer just kicking around the universe as hotshot mercenaries, but they're in the middle of a really serious intergalactic shift that is happening, and that this is clearly the story of them waking up to that and seeing what they're going to do about it. Then you bring on board this kid, of all things, and that completely transforms the stakes of their predicament and of what they're trying to do. And so all of these really charged aspects of their world that started at the beginning of the Bad Batch, all of this is being brought home and brought together to final landing with this season 3. So it's a very exciting story that at once is very big, but it also is very personal.
That makes sense. Yeah, because you've got kind of like this big backdrop of, you know, battling the Empire and the clones and everything. But it really is this like lovely story about.
Oh, yeah.
This
it's
family.
Huge. You've got Palpatine and Moff Tarkin, and you've got the big baddies. This is on their radar. And that's the big story that's playing out. But like you're saying, you also have a family that wants to not only survive and make sure that everyone's okay, but they need to find their place in this. They need to find their way through this and how they're going to commit. Are they going to cut and run? Or are they going to fight? Or what are they going to do? That's the story of the Bad Batch.
And I know you've talked about this a little bit before, you know, being in the recording booth and essentially having conversations with yourself where you're voicing, you know, up to 5 different characters at a time. Has that gotten easier the more you kind of played these characters, or has it always just kind of felt like second nature?
It started with the clones, the talking to myself as a room of clones. That first took a little bit of focus, a little bit of extra energy to keep everybody clear. But as we kicked along with it, it became easier and easier. It was actually a little bit easier with the Bad Batch themselves because they're so different. And that's the main thing, is that they're each a distinct and different character. And so it made it a little bit easier from my angle as an actor to read through the scenes as this team of soldiers if they're different people. And so it was actually a little bit easier, especially once we relaxed into their characters and to the dynamic of what was playing out.
Yeah, it's because they're so different. I imagine voicing Wrecker is very different than voicing Tech.
Wrecker is like nothing at all.
Nothing at all like Tech. Not at all.
Exactly. They're totally different people. And yeah. Of the clones, I particularly wanted to talk a little bit about Crosshair. You know, his evolution to me has been one of kind of the most fascinating parts of this story. Tell me a little bit about kind of your approach to him and this journey that he goes on.
Crosshair is the most transactional and cynical, the least warm fuzzy you could possibly imagine. And he's kind of a sour old solitary lion snake that just kind of hangs in the background and then strikes from a distance. But he's no longer able to maintain this distance, is the thing. He's tried that, and he tried to go the solitary way, which made sense to him, but he's seen the consequences for that. And now, almost improbably, It's Omega that comes round to say, I'm going to help you. You need help, and we can do this. You can do this. That someone who seems lost and beyond redemption actually has a ray of hope of somebody reaching out to him like that. It's a very affecting thing. And it's a beautiful thing to see. It's a very human thing. And I think humans need that sense of hope and redemption. And I think that's a key thing about Star Wars, really, that they've kind of honed down to in this particular branch of the Star Wars story in The Bad Batch, is a new way to encapsulate the journey of redemption and of hope. And that definitely centers on Crosshair.
That makes total sense. And yeah, I'm curious for you. I mean, you've been a part of the Star Wars galaxy for more than 15 years now, and you've voiced countless characters. Do you like know the number of unique clones you have voiced? It's got to be a crazy number, right?
You know, fans will give me posters that they've made of all the characters. It's like, I remember the name, but I just can't. I need to go back and review this. So I mean, some I do remember, and I feel like I still know them well, you know, like Gregor or Cutler Quain or 99, Heavy, you know, Fives. And there's a number of them that are prominent, but there's a whole range of them that are no less valuable to me, but maybe they were just one-offs but you'll still find a fan that's like, yeah, I really love Kix. I really love, you know, what it's like this. Where, what episode was he in? Oh, he was in episode. Let's see. It was his second season, fifth episode. And he said this. It's like, OK, I believe you. And they're always, of course, they're always right.
Of course. They've got it all memorized.
Oh, they know. They know.
What's it like for you to kind of think about your journey with Star Wars? I mean, when you think back, you know, when you got the job on the original Clone Wars, did you have any idea that you would be here, you know, all these years later, kind of telling this new chapter of the story?
As a voice actor, you start out on a series innocent of anything that's about to happen. You just don't know. And for me, I mean, no one was more surprised than me that I even got cast in this. It's like, you're going to be I'm going to be a soldier's? I'm normally doing the weird stuff and comedic stuff, but soldiers? I wouldn't have thought myself capable of this. I wouldn't have cast myself or thought to cast myself as this. And so for me, it's very satisfying creatively and as an actor to have found this within me through the trust of Dave Filoni and the whole gang, and just lucky to be along for the ride that George Lucas said, yeah, let's try it this way. And then kind of improbably, it's like a little escape pod that made it out of the Clone Wars, but it made it down to Tatooine. And by golly, you know, the story continues with the Bad Batch. That's kind of how it feels. It's like this really improbable adventure that took me to all these incredible places and worlds that I never would have imagined. And I just feel so lucky to have been along for the ride on that.
I have to ask about another Star Wars role you voiced, the Frog Lady in The Mandalorian. Yeah. Did you ever expect that character to become such a breakout hit?
No, the Frog Lady and the Frog Man, I voiced them both. It's something that you become familiar with when you're on the Star Wars space train, is that any character, any little character standing in the corner is no less important than Yoda or Darth Vader or whoever. Every aspect of this world people embrace, they want to live in it. They want to meet the characters that are in it, the people that inhabited that and created that. All of it is exciting. That's part of what's so wonderful about Star Wars, is you don't just want to say hello to Yoda and then walk away. You want to dress up, get the cosplay going, get the whole family into it, or maybe your fellow troops, and you want to be in this world. And so every character, every aspect of it, it's like the original Star Wars, the bar scene in Tatooine. I want to see all these creatures hang out. Whoa, stop, pause it. I want to look at that character for a while. I want to meet all of it, you know? So that's how it feels to me.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for taking time out of your day to speak with me, and congrats on Bad Batch Season 3.
Oh, thank you. I am so excited for fans to see what is coming down.
All right, our thanks to Dee Bradley Baker for hanging out with us this week, and thank you for hanging out as well. And a huge thank you to everyone's taken just the 30 seconds to subscribe, rate, review the podcast. That is super awesome of you. Really appreciate it. Don't forget to leave us a voicemail message about anything you want. Just call us and say what you got to say at 657-799-1566. And you can be part of the show. You can also connect with us on social media by following Entertainment Weekly on all socials. It's at EW on Twitter and at Entertainment Weekly everywhere else. You can also tag and follow us directly using at Dalton Ross, although that's not my handle on Instagram. See if you can find me. And at Devin Kogan. Thanks so much, everyone. We'll do it all over again next week.
This episode of Dagobah Dispatch Podcast is hosted and produced by Dalton Ross and Devin Kogan. Produced and edited by Sammy Junio. Full episode transcripts are available at EW.com. Thanks for listening, and may the force be with you.